Curio. What is the risk of a child who suffers a head injury to suffer a subsequent head injury? A study published in the April 2007 issue of the journal Pediatrics sought to answer this question, and I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Bonnie Swain, Associate Professor in the Physiotherapy Program, School of Rehabilitation in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal and researcher at the Montreal Rehabilitation Institute. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. Dorkin.
How many children suffer head injuries each year?
Well, there's over 50,000 hospital admissions per year for children of having head injury. That's mainly based in the United States because there aren't that many studies that have looked at it in Canada. Mm-hmm. But 10% of these children actually can have serious consequences to their injury, long-lasting academic problems, memory problems, attention problems, things like that can really interfere with their schooling.
Now, what are some of the common causes of head injuries in children? And when we're talking about the head injuries that you've just described leading to these particular deficiencies over time, what severity are they? Is there a specific degree of injury that can lead to these causes?
Yes, well, to answer your first question with regard to causes, in young children, the younger ones, let's say about under nine and younger, they're mainly due to falls. Kids are falling from not just only playground equipment, but falling inside the house, tumbling, or falling off of tricycles outside. And as children get older, they're more involved in sports-related injuries, so on the soccer field, on the ice during a hockey game, things like that. And as children get into the teenage years, they're involved in more pedestrian injuries, cycling injuries, and then, unfortunately, motor vehicle accidents.
So for a parent listening to this description now, the potential disability that can follow after the injury, are these children, when they suffer the injury, are they rendered unconscious? Is there a degree to their to the concussion that they're having? Is there a specific cutoff where you can say that these children will end up with particular problems and other children can recover reasonably well?
That's a good question, but unfortunately we can't really say who's going to have symptoms or not. There's a range that we talk about: mild, moderate, or severe head injury. If a child has had severe head injury, this is typically one that's involved in a serious accident, like a motor vehicle accident, and they can be unconscious for, you know, up to several weeks and in coma, as we say. But the majority of the children actually sustain a mild head injury, or what we also is known as a concussion. Mm-hmm. And this, depending on what study you're citing, it can range between 80 or 90% of the children that had head injury have a mild head injury, a concussion. And most of these children do actually recover and go back to, you know, being involved in their regular activities. But there still are a small number, and we aren't really able to pinpoint the number that can have these problems. And the problems actually show themselves more in children that are in the school age, because they can have these memory problems and attention problems and irritability problems that we see when they're in school. When in a younger child, we may not actually be able to observe any of the symptoms. Young children aren't able to tell us that they're nauseated, that they're, you know, having memory problems, things like that.
Now, with respect to your study, how did you design it, and what did you use as your data source?
Okay, well, we looked at children who had sought care at one of the two pediatric hospitals, children's hospitals in Montreal, and we know they were seen for either a head injury or an injury to the arm or leg someplace else other than the head. And we gave their parents a call 6 months and 1 year after their visit to the emergency department. Now, some of these children were actually admitted to the hospital for their injury. So what we found is these parents were saying that their children within 6 months and a year were actually having another head injury. And with the statistical analysis, we were able to report that children that have a head injury compared to children that had an injury to the arm, leg, strain, or sprain per se, were actually almost twice as likely to experience a second head injury within the 6 months and even up to a year following the first time they sought care.
What are some of the explanations for that? Did you look at whether the activity that they were doing in the that led to the initial injury, if they were still participating in that activity, was there physical damage that resulted in either being off balance or coordination would be off, leading to another head injury? What do you hypothesize as being the reasons?
Right. Well, that was the goal of the study. We did have a feeling that they would be at risk because clinicians kept on telling us, oh, I've seen this child before. Mm-hmm. And when we presented some of the preliminary data at conferences in the past, they were saying, oh, yes, we all know kids have a risk of having a second head injury, but no one's able to identify why. So in our, we had about 8 to 10 minute telephone interval where we asked parents as many questions as we could to try to find out, well, what are the characteristics of these children? And essentially all we could find was that they're younger children that are having this repetitive head injury phenomenon. They're boys, and they're children that have already had a head injury. I mentioned that we started with children that sought care for a head injury, but a lot of them, one of the questions we asked parents was, in the past year before mm-hmm. the time you sought care, did your child have a head injury? And there's kids who within an 18-month period are having up to 3 and even 4 head injuries. So I can't say that there is one specific activity that these children are doing that leads them to have this repetitive head injury. We weren't able to identify that. And with regards to your second question about damage, the goal of the study wasn't to to look at outcome, but we do have some idea about post-concussion symptoms.
Right.
And we know that even up to 6 months, the children that had head injury, just one head injury compared to the kids that had an orthopedic injury to the arm or leg, they actually, even up to 6 months, had more complaints of irritability and headaches, which could be significant for, you know, a mm-hmm. kid in trying to do schoolwork when they're constantly complaining of headaches.
Are there other signs and symptoms that parents should watch for after a head injury in their child, and also when to determine when that child is safe to go back to their activity that they'd like to participate in?
Okay. Well, I think if your child has a head injury, falls, and is complaining of any nausea, dizziness, just doesn't even seem him or herself, as with young children, it's sort of hard to ask them these questions, then I would recommend bringing them to consult your doctor immediately or an emergency department, because only they can judge. Really, they have a whole exam that they put the child through. But when should a kid actually return? Well, there's a complete evaluation done. And now what people are saying is, rather than having just a 4-week period before kids go back to their activities, they should make sure that all symptoms have been completely resolved. Like I said, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and even irritability, any sort of change in behavior. So now people are going towards more of a stepwise progressive return. So you start back one day, and if you, in your regular activities, if you're not having any of the symptoms, then you progress to a next day. And actually, it's a 6-step process that they're promoting now, particularly in returning young athletes to sports. But I think we could use these guidelines in actually returning just kids to general activities. But one of the messages I guess I would tell parents is that if your children's had a head injury, yes, your child is at risk of having a second one. And if he or she's involved in contact sports or any other activities, cycling, rollerblading, that their child should definitely be wearing a helmet.
Well, Dr. Swin, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about the study today.
And it's been my pleasure.
And I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Dr. Bonnie Swain is Associate Professor in the Physiotherapy Program, School of Rehabilitation in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal, and Researcher at the Montreal Rehabilitation Institute. Coming up, Dr. Chris Lowry, Neuroscientist with the Henry Wellcome Laboratories for Integrative Neuroscience, and how playing in the dirt may actually help prevent depression. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call.
You're listening to
Associate Professor in the Physiotherapy Program, School of Rehabilitation in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Montreal, and Researcher at the Montreal Rehabilitation Institute. Coming up, Dr. Chris Lowry, Neuroscientist with the Henry Wellcome Laboratories for Integrative Neuroscience, and how playing in the dirt may actually help prevent depression. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.